Running Scared by Manda Sue Heller. Read by Colleen Prendergast. Part 1. Chapter 1. Bored with the book her English teacher had ordered the class to read, Lexi James tossed it aside and flopped back against her pillows. She didn't know why this stupid cow thought any teenager in this day and age would be remotely interested in a load of plum-in-gob Victorian women whose lives revolved around pleasing their controlling, womanising husbands, but she refused to waste one more second of her life on it. And if Miss Matthews threw one of her spot tests later in the week, well, that's what Google was for. Suddenly aware it was getting dark outside, she glanced at the alarm clock on her bedside table and shuffled off the bed to draw her curtains when she saw that it was almost 7 p.m. She'd started on her homework as soon as she got home and hadn't even changed out of her school uniform yet, never mind eaten. Belly rumbling at the thought of food, she headed into the kitchen to heat a bowl of stew from the pan her mum had left on the stove before setting off for work that afternoon. The air in there was icy, and she hugged herself when goosebumps sprang up all over her body as she waited for the microwave to ping. Seconds before it did, she heard a key scraping the lock of the front door, and her heart sank when her stepdad, Tony Lawson, stumbled inside, muttering drunken curses under his breath. He didn't usually leave the pub until last orders, so he must have run out of money. Or run into someone he owed money to. Either way, her plan to eat dinner in front of the TV was wrecked, because there was no way she was going to sit in the front room playing Happy Families with that fat pig. "Beth," Tony called out as he staggered up the hallway. "Where are you? I need some dosh." He fell against the kitchen doorframe in a fog of booze fumes, BO and stale smoke, and narrowed his glazed eyes when he spotted Lexi. "Where's your mum?" "Work," Lexi said, eyeing him warily. She didn't like being alone with him at the best of times, but she especially didn't like being anywhere near him when he was pissed. Changing her mind about the stew, she tried to edge around him, but he put his hand on the doorframe to prevent her from getting past.
"Not rushing off and leaving me on my own, are you?"
"I need to revise for my exams," she lied, folding her arms when his gaze slid down to her breasts, which were straining against the buttons of her too tight school shirt.
"Why bother with all that shit when you can lie back and let a man take care of you?" he said, grinning as he lowered his face to within inches of hers. "You're a pretty girl, and you need someone to show you the ropes before the lads start sniffing round. Know what I mean?"
Nauseated by his boozy breath and the leery glint in his eyes, Lexi jerked her head back when he tried to stroke her cheek with a nicotine-stained finger.
"Like that, is it?" he chuckled. "Gonna make me work for it, are you?"
"Get lost," she hissed, ducking under his arm and running to her room. "Cock teaser," Tony called after her. Heart pounding, Lexi closed her door and pressed her ear to the wood, praying that he wouldn't follow and try to force his way in. He'd never done so before, but then he'd never looked at her like that before either, and that remark he'd made about teaching her the ropes had totally creeped her out. Relieved to hear the TV go on in the living room a few seconds later, Lexi pulled her jacket on and stuffed her feet into her trainers, then slid the window with the broken catch open and climbed out onto the communal landing outside, quietly sliding the window shut again. It was dark and raining, and she cursed Tony for coming home early and chasing her out as she jogged along the landing and down the stairs. The wind was howling through a broken windowpane when she reached the bottom of the stairwell, and she paused to zip her jacket and pull up her hood before pushing out through the heavy door. Hurrying up the path, she hesitated when she heard her name being called and looked round to see little Jamie Holland from the second floor waving to her from the concrete play area in the centre of the estate, alone as usual, wearing pants that were a good inch too short and a Christmas-patterned jumper that had seen far better days. The boy scooped up the half-flat football he'd been